Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live, the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk. And now, broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH, here's your host, Matt Russell.
Fellow foodies, thank you so much for tuning in like you do every Saturday at 5 o'clock. We are now in the second part of a two-part series on the wisdom of the Mediterranean culture and Mediterranean cuisine. And when you're thinking about Mediterranean cuisine and you are in an urban setting and you just want to kill it downtown, we are broadcasting live from Urban Pita downtown on Congress Street, 345 Congress. We got all kinds of great specials going on all the way up until midnight. We got a lamb shank with rice and veggies. We have rice bowls topped with your choice of meat. We've got steak shawarma sandwiches. We got something called kibbeh, and we're going to be asking Freddie Amasamani exactly what kibbeh is. But come on down to Urban Pita and join us for this live broadcast where we're celebrating the wisdom of the Mediterranean here from 5 to 6 o'clock. Now, speaking of wisdom, there is a man in Tucson who follows the food and beverage scene with great wisdom. He has a great passion for the craft. He loves finding out where the news is. In fact, he has his palate on the pulse of things making food news in this community. And I am honored to bring him on the show for his inaugural seat in the coveted celebrity co-host spot. He is the senior writer with Tucson Foodie. Put your hands together for my good friend, Mr. Jackie Tran. Jackie, what's going on, brother?
Oh, nothing. Just ready to get the day started. Sipping on this refreshing mango lassi.
And it looks like you're drinking a mango lassi, mm-hmm. which is what you do here at Urban Pita, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
A great year 2017 was on the local food and beverage scene. I mean, there's no shortage of content, as you know, when it comes to finding what's making news on the cocktail side and the cuisine side. But when you kind of take a look back, you know, what are the kind of things that fascinated you about what's happening here on the local food and beverage scene?
I like that the cultures are diversifying here right now with the different restaurants. We just had Queen Sheba opened up, so we had Eritrean food on the horizon.
Right.
We've had Zimams with Ethiopia. And the cultures are next to each other, and the food is very similar, but there's a few slight differences. Eritrea had some Italian colonization, so
yes,
there's a bit more tomato in their sauces as well. Little things like that.
Now, have you had a chance to kind of do the circuit tour of all these new restaurants and actually roll up your sleeves and get to the heart of the majesty that these chefs are kicking out?
Oh, yes. I just discreetly pop in as soon as they open, and then I taste everything. I kind of a little bit too much, and they're just looking at me weird for that. And then I just pull out my clunky camera, and they're like, oh, what are you doing?
Well,
who do you work for?
I got to ask you, Jackie Tran does not discreetly walk into any Tucson restaurant. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I hope I don't have a photo hanging in the kitchen where they have a big red circle around me or anything like that.
Well, this has been a big week for Tucson food stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw that the Tucson food scene just hit something in the New York Times earlier this week. Yeah, I mean, our good friend Dan Gibson with Visit Tucson was sharing that news. And again, you know, you go back a couple of years with the City of Gastronomy story, which I think is a game changer mm-hmm. for this great community. That story never ends. It keeps getting told and retold new and fresh ways. And it reminds us, finally, that Tucson is a real legitimate food town, Jackie.
Oh, yes, not to mention that James Beard American Classics Award for El Güero Canelo.
Yeah, that's right. And I want to make sure that our listeners understood, do not adjust your radio dial. Jackie Tran actually did use the words James Beard and El Güero Canelo in the same sentence. He just won a James Beard Award.
Yes, he did.
And people say, how does a hot dog get an award? But it's a kind of a different kind of an award that they do with James Beard. The foundation kind of confers awards in different categories, right?
Oh, yeah. So El Güero Canelo, it's not a place for food snobs, but it's timeless. It's classic. It's a big part of our culture. It's somewhere you take visitors from out of town. So that type of value to our community is what that award treasures.
I love it. Now, on the Tucson foodie scene, again, this is a must stop destination for all local foodies. You need to make a date with Tucson Foodie a regular part of your daily diet. Go on to TucsonFoodie.com. They're all over every single social media property there is. Half of them I've never heard of, but wherever there's a social media engagement, you're at the heart of it. TucsonFoodie.com for your latest food news. Let me ask you to kind of look into your crystal ball, Jackie Tran. As I said, you kind of keep your palace on the pulse of things making food news. Can you give us a tease a little bit about what you're covering these days, about what you're looking at to report on these days?
Let's see. There's some boarded up restaurants opening. There's that space over on Speedway that used to be a Denny's. And I just drove by it today. It looks like it's going to be a sushi/Asian restaurant. Huh? There's a space that used to be Cervezas also on Speedway and Swan. That's going to be a Korean barbecue.
Oh, didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, Valentine's Day is coming up, so we're working on an article for that. I just finished up an article last week of some of the best vegetable dishes in Tucson, since we're eating quite healthy out here.
Now, how do you curate your content for something like that? I mean, there's so many great places to come and enjoy a wonderfully romantic moment on Valentine's Day. How do you even begin to get your head around all of these restaurants, making time in your busy schedule to find out what they're doing? What does that process look like?
I have a curated Facebook list. So instead of looking at my friends' feed all day, I like all the restaurants on Facebook. So I'm only looking at restaurant updates on Facebook. Scroll down, look up, look it up, see what's going on. I look through all the various social medias as well. So Google reviews, Yelp, just look through crucial search terms of what I'm interested in, and I'll find what pops up. And, of course, word of mouth. Just ask around, you know.
And when it comes to diving into the heart of the story, I mean, you're a journalist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we here in the foodie journalism world, we're trying to look at something. We're trying to find something fascinating, something new, something fresh, something different. You know, you're not going to go to Tucson Foodie to find out, you know, what's the best spring menu in this town. You really want to find really the story. So what is your process for finding exactly what you think your viewers and your visitors are looking for?
I think I'm kind of lucky just because people know I do that, so they try to give me the lead, and, oh, have you heard of this? And a lot of times I haven't.
Oh, those publicists.
Yeah, they're
love
the first ones to tell me, so I go through that way. But there's a lot of just actually driving around town from parts of town I haven't explored, and I'll see a little sign, and I investigate. And what do you know? It ends up being the place that serves fantastic raspados or other little delights.
I love that. And there is an investigative element to the food journalism beat, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about cracking the story, finding the story, and being the first to tell it. But anyway, Jackie Tran, he's a senior writer with Tucson Foodie on TucsonFoodie.com. He's our celebrity co-host for the full hour here in this live broadcast from Urban Pita. We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, we have two of my favorite chefs who are holding court right here at Urban Pita. In the meantime, you're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The culinary excellence of Chef Victor Padilla continues to make news on Tucson's dinner scene, but it's his brand new brunch menu that's all the buzz these days at his Hot Foothills Eatery, Commoner & Co. Victor's passion for food anchors each of his Sunday morning and midday meals, from the shrimp and creamy grits with mussels and calabrese salami to the Commoner waffle with fresh berries, smoked honey, and bourbon butter. Yeah, I said it, bourbon butter! Or check out Victor's take on a Southwest classic, the pork carnitas chilaquiles, dotted with avocado, red radish, and a sunny egg, then lovingly drizzled with a house-made guajillo sauce. Throw in a couple rounds of Commoner Bloody Marys or mimosas, and you have all the makings for the perfect weekend wrap-up. Brunch is served every Sunday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And don't forget to come back on Monday night for half-off bottles of wine. Brunch is the bomb this season at Commoner & Co. on the southeast corner of Sunrise and Kolb. I'll see you there. Rise and shine, fellow foodies. It's time to wake up and start your day the right way. With a craft cocktail, of course. Wait, what? Yes, our friends at the Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro in Northwest Tucson are giving all of us a great reason to get out of bed in the morning with their Wake Up Happy Hour, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 10 a.m. Get happy with some small breakfast dishes and cocktails for only $6 each, like their sweet potato fries, topped with an egg and homemade sausage gravy, paired with the girls' award-winning 24-carat margarita. Oh yeah, that's the one made with the real organic organic carrot juice. Talk about a hefty helping of happy. Choose from a range of dishes and signature cocktails and have fun making the most out of your morning hours at Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro. Voted best place to eat gluten-free on North Oracle Road, just south of Rudisill.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
And welcome back, fellow foodies. You're listening to On the Menu Live, and it is Matt Russell broadcasting live from Urban Pita, 345 East Congress Street in the heart of downtown Tucson, celebrating the wisdom of the Mediterranean story with the very wise, all-knowing Jackie Tran, our celebrity co-host from Tucson Foodie. Jackie, thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we've got a couple of guys here who really need no introduction to our listeners. In fact, talk about two guys who are making news in their own right, Jackie Tran, because whatever they do in their respective shops, just you know, wisdom manifests. And they're here to tell us about something fun and fresh going on at this year's Savor Food and Wine Festival, sponsored by our good friends at SACA, Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance. In no particular order, I want everybody to rise and applaud loudly for our good friends, Chef Devin Sanner from the Carriage House and the very brillante and elegante Michael Alafante from Mama Luisa's. How are you guys doing?
All righty.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for having us.
So, Devin, last time you and I were on the radio, we were eating bratwursts at Cafe Passé.
Indeed, fond memories of that.
Was that fun or what, man?
No, fantastic. Always great. Always
I'll tell
great
you what, being with you. Speaking of great, Savor Food and Wine Festival, put on by the great team over at SACA, one of my very favorite events of the year because of everything that is available. There's just robust opportunities to have great food, great drinks, and you can't beat the backdrop of the Tucson Botanical Garden is happening on February 3rd, right?
Yes, fantastic event. SACA always puts on great events, and so their event on the 3rd, the Botanical Garden, something to look forward to. Mark your calendars, go online to SACA.org, and get your tickets for all the different Savor events.
And there's going to be live music happening at another event that's happening a couple of days before. We're going to be talking about that. But how many restaurants are going to be coming out for the February 3rd Savor Food and Wine? We got 16 restaurants?
60.
My Jesus. Goodness.
Wow.
60 restaurants are going to be serving their very best, along with we're going to be having some samples of libations as well over there at the Botanical Gardens.
Some adult beverages to be had, lots of tasty noshes. Indeed, it'll be fantastic.
Time. Tasty noshes. I love that. How much are tickets this year for the Savor event? Okay, $75 all inclusive. Includes all the. Now, do they know I'm coming? Yeah,
they might have to bump up ticket prices to cover costs at that point, but we'll see. Well, it's in the works.
Yeah, you must, Nate, the weather's going to be perfect. You must put February the 3rd on your calendar, the Savor Food and Wine Festival, sponsored by SACA, again, at the Tucson Botanical Gardens. What time does the event start on the 3rd? Okay, so it starts at 11 a.m., get an early start to the afternoon, and go. But Michael Alafante, you guys are doing something crazy. When SACA gets together to say, look, we need to keep this, continue to drive this event in fun and fresh new ways, your brethren from the Gastronomic Union of Tucson, otherwise known as GUT, you guys are putting together an event that's happening a couple of days before Savor to get everyone in party mode. What do you got
absolutely.
Up your sleeve?
Absolutely. I mean, who's better to party than a bunch of chefs, you know what I mean? So, yes, we've got the GUT and SACA collaboration going on at the Rialto on Thursday. A little carnival / Mardi Gras theme. We got four different groups. Actually five, I guess you'd say, with the king cake as well. Got to have the king cake at it. But we're going to have four different captains hosting it, and then a bunch of other chefs have joined in with them. We all got together, created some fantastic one-of-a-kind dishes, you know, our own takes on either a carnival or a Mardi Gras theme. You know, we're going to have gator gumbo, foie gras stuffed beignets topped with banana Fosters. It's absolutely, you're going to need to come with some stretchy pants or, you know, loosen up the belt at the end of this thing.
Well, so. I wear those every day.
Yeah.
It's part of my daily, my thing. So that is happening. It's carnival.
Carnival.
Celebrating the energy and the vibrance of Rio. The Fat Tuesday kind of feel as we're getting into that Mardi Gras season. That's happening on February the 1st.
Yep.
At the Rialto.
At the Rialto.
Kind of, you know, bringing the Rialto Foundation and SACA together collaboratively. And what better to do it than a bunch of chefs that really make a living collaborating. I mean, Devin Sanner, wherever there's a collaboration, you yourself always seem to be right in the middle of it. Now, who do you get to be collaborating with at the Carnival Moments on February the 1st?
So I'm collaborating with a sort of in-house team here. Sous chef Tanner Fleming over at Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails, sous chef Matt Crace, also known as DJ Sayer Uno, and then sadly had to duck out a co-collaborator, Chef Tim Moore, who moonlights, as you may know, is DeMarcus Cousins, so he's out for the season
<That's right. laughs>
blowout injury. So Boogie won't be there, but the rest of the crew will be there, putting on great Brazilian food for our take on Rio Carnival, some feijoada, some pão de queijo.
You
know,
it just
time.
Rolls off the tongue. I mean, it's heaven.
You know, Jackie, you just can't find good pão de queijo around much more. So, you know, you got to go to the heart of the team that's making it. Again, Chef Tanner Fleming, Matt Crice, Devin Stanner, they're going to be kicking out Brazilian feijoada?
Feijoada.
Feijoada, pão de queijo, the yuca fries, of course, the mojo.
Molho rosé.
Molho rosé, I'll listen to you. And that's just one of the four or five teams, Michael, that you were telling us about. Now, who do you get to have on your team this time? Michael.
I got the legendary Jim Murph. You know, Jim Murphy, you know, Kingfisher, he speaks for himself. I mean, it's a dream to pair up with this guy. He used to, you know, he was good friends with my dad back in the day, and so it's kind of like a full circle with him. And then I also got Ken Foy from Dante's Fire.
Love him.
You know, it can't go wrong. Either way, I mean, it's just going to be happiness.
Hanging out with Murph,
yeah.
Collaborating on a menu with Mardi Gras as the backdrop, I mean, pinch me.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, that's like a bucket list
arm,
item
right?
for me,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So you're going to be partnering with some of the, you know, Rocco is going to be in on the action
Rocco
as well.
Rocco de Grazia, yeah, we've got some just phenomenal chefs. It's such a dream to work with all the gut chefs here. We're roping in Chef Chuck Scott. We'll be getting to work with Obadiah Hyman from the Mountain Oyster Club, who goes way back. Listeners may remember him from the band Feast Upon Cactus Thorns. Say the acronym in your head.
I mean, the Gut Collaborative is it's this beautiful thing that it's really, you know, Devin and Obi were some of the, you know, the driving forces behind it. And now you got all these, you know, big name, you know, superhero. It's kind of like the Justice League of Tucson when it comes to the chefs.
Totally. All of our favorites.
It's a dream to work with all, you know, these renowned chefs that, I mean, they're just incredible.
And then you got the Wildcat Jazz Band, comprised of six world-class musicians doing kind of Chicago, New Orleans-inspired stuff. All happening again. Carnival celebration at the Rialto Theater. It's only $45 to taste
absolutely.
Your way through all of these great packages. Now, is there a way, do you have package deals? If people want to come to Carnival as well as the Savor Food and Wine Festival? Savor Week package, and you can get all the tickets, all the information at Saca.org.
That's Saca.org.
Absolutely.
Saca.org, that is SAACA.org, to get your tickets for this incredible once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get to know some of the hardest-working artisans in this town, doing it Carnival style, and then working your way through the weekend, capping it all off on the 3rd with the annual Savor Food and Wine Festival. I will promise you, fellow foodies, you will not have a culinary moment like this. Again, get your tickets now while you still can, because Michael and Devin don't want to be the guys to say no to you when this sells out. Anyway, Michael Elefante from Mama Luisa's, Chef Devin Stanner from the Carriage House. My hat is off to you both. I love the fact that you're in this community. You're participating in this community. You're family men. I love your family stories. My hat is off to you. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
We're going to take another quick commercial break and thank some more sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be libating like they do in the Mediterranean with our good friend Jeff Baker. In the meantime, you're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Don't you dare go away.
Hey there, fellow foodies. Matt Russell here, and I say that nothing makes a culinary and cocktail experience more legendary than a premium cigar. And Jerry's Cigars has everything for the Tucson cigar enthusiast. With more than 70,000 cigars in stock, Jerry's has a cigar for every taste and size, including rare and hard-to-find cigars, alongside an impressive showcase of lighters and cutters, humidors, and other accessories. Swing by Jerry's for some sticks to go, or fire one up in the climate-controlled comfort of Jerry's Cigar Lounge. Jerry's Cigars, the official tobacconist of On the Menu Live. Come see him today at 4433 North 1st Avenue, just north of Wetmore Road, or give them a call at 887-7778. That's 887-7778.
It's all about fresh. Ultra premium, first cold press. And trust me, these distinctions make a world of difference in extra virgin olive oils. And some of my favorite flavors of the world are now on tap at Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. Stop in today to learn what the Southern Hemisphere tastes like. From the mild Arbosana from Chile, a delicate oil with notes of green almond and banana, to the Picholine from Australia, a big and pungent oil that delivers loads of spice and pepper on your palate. Sample more than 20 gourmet olive oils in Alfonso's portfolio, along with a delicious lineup of aged balsamic vinegars that will transform your home into an Italian marketplace. And while you're there, discover some great gift ideas for your next party, try out some fun kitchen accessories, and sign up for their series of community cooking classes and other special events throughout the year. Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics on the southeast corner of River and Campbell and the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee. And don't forget, as Tom and Nancy Alfonso say, taste first and buy when the excitement becomes overwhelming. See what they're pouring today at alfonsooliveoil.com.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back, fellow foodies. You're listening to On the Menu Live, and we are broadcasting live from Urban Pita at 345 East Congress Street, again in the heart of downtown Tucson. We are here with our celebrity co-host, the senior writer, with Tucson foodie, Mr. Jackie Tran, making his way through that lassie like a pro. How did you go?
I'm a professional lassie drinker,
professional,
I tell you what.
He's a professional lassie drinker. And what a great segue, because when it comes to the world of the lassie lexicon,
yes.
Here is a man who is at the heart of that story. He's the co-owner here at Urban Pita, and a good time to meet our friend Jeff Baker. Jeff, how are you?
Doing wonderful. How's everything?
Doing great. I mean, here we are in your sandbox, man. I mean, we're just kind of having fun, you know, doing urban street food in downtown Tucson.
Welcome.
I totally dig the atmosphere here, and we're going to be talking to your business partner here, Freddie El Meselmani, and the El Meselmani story is a long, treasured story
really
in the Tucson culinary scene. But when we come to a restaurant, the first thing we like to do is get a beverage.
Absolutely.
So when we're thinking about Mediterranean-inspired beverages, where do we go here at Urban Pita?
We could start in the morning with coffee. We have Turkish espresso. It's got cardamom in it. It's very strong. It's not a big drink. It comes in a small 8-ounce cup, and we don't even fill it all the way, but it is very powerful. Very finely ground. Grounds stay in it, so when you drink it, you get a big hit of caffeine, and it keeps you going. The cardamom, very nice.
So this is a traditional Turkish preparation of coffee.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm intrigued. I don't think I've ever had a Turkish coffee.
Yes.
I mean, I'm looking at Devin Sanner. He's nodding. That kind of stuff is just another day at the office for Devin Sanner, world traveler. But anyway, Turkish-inspired coffee, and you're bringing some cardamom into the blend. Now, are you doing that as you're roasting, as you're grinding the beans? At what point does the cardamom come in?
It's ground. They grind it very fine, and then they mix the cardamom in after that. We get our coffee from Turkey. We get it mixed, and then we also have we bought the coffee maker from Turkey as well. So everything is very authentic as we could get anyway.
So the coffee maker that is here at Urban Pita hails from Turkey.
It certainly does. We had to get the adapter for the Euro plug and everything.
Do you keep it under lock and key? I mean,
yes.
Is there like a changing of the guard twice a day to a stand guard in front of that very, I would imagine, very rare piece of
We keep it tucked in the back pretty far, so it's not within arm's reach by any means.
Talk about the flavor profile of cardamom for some of our listeners that might not be familiar with that spice.
It's a very powerful spice. So it's when I think of something that smells like a spice market, cardamom is usually one of the first things that comes because it's very forward, and it's something that you can add to something to make it spiceful, not spicy hot, but if something's spicy, cardamom's a great way to go with that. It sits right in there with our shawarma, you know, seven spice, stuff like that, very big Middle Eastern flavor.
Your mouth is watering. Jackie, are you big? You ever had a Turkish coffee?
Oh, yes, that cardamom fragrance is outstanding.
Fragrance. We're talking about fragrance and coffee. Now, what's the? I don't want to violate protocol here at Urban Pita. When I dial up a Turkish coffee, is there a traditional way to enjoy it? Do you pollute it with all the stuff like cream and sugar?
We don't even have cream. It does get served with a little bit of sugar usually.
All right.
But, you know, that's entirely up to you.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a big shot. So that you can't put a whole lot in it anyways. Otherwise, you're just going to, you know, have a cup full of mud, and that's going to be nothing good.
Okay, so Turkish coffee, bringing in a little bit of the region, the fragrance of that to part of the world. The cardamom comes in to really fill that out and say, hey, you're not in Kansas anymore. What else are we drinking here at Urban Pita these days?
We have cardamom tea as well, if you're not a coffee drinker, which I am not. So I have cardamom tea as well. We have we brought over a Middle Eastern soda called Vimto, which is a it's a date syrup fruit soda. Very, very unique, strong flavor, but it's very traditional. Some people love it. Some people hate it. But we get guys from the Middle East that see it, and their eyes light up, and they buy three of them at a time. It's, you know, it's pretty fun to see, like, people react to the fact that we have it in here.
Name another kind of fast casual setting that has date syrup, you know, on their palate. I mean, that's crazy, Jeff.
Got to have it. You know, we wanted, you know, just little things like that are going to set us apart, and so that's what we try to do.
Right. And I see Jackie Tran, a self-described Lassie professional. Do not try this at home. The Lassie is not an easy thing to do, but really part of the anchor libation experience here at Urban Pita, right?
Yes. We have two flavors. We do mango or we do strawberry, or you can mix them if you're feeling crazy. And then we do just the traditional sweet Lassie. There are salty ones and also sour ones. We don't do any of those. We just keep it simple with the two, too sweet. And then in the summertime, we actually make the Lassie into frozen yogurt. We have a frozen yogurt machine. So we can make the Lassie either in the wintertime, we just do it as a smoothie. In the summertime, we do it as frozen yogurt. But in the winter, we just go through too little of it. So we throw away a bunch, and we just don't want to deal with that.
Now, for the uninformed, if I had a smoothie on one side of the table and a Lassie on the other, am I going to be able to see the difference right away, or is that going to be appreciated as I begin to sip from one to the next?
You're going to notice it because the main component for the Lassie is the yogurt. That's what makes it a Lassie.
There it is.
And we use the sour yogurt. It's, you know, full-strength Greek yogurt. So it gives a little bit of sour note in the finish. And that's what's going to set you apart from a traditional smoothie, you know, of just juice and fruit and maybe some veggies or whatever else.
You know what? We talked a little bit about pairings, but we have to take a quick break. I want you to hang out with us a while when Freddie comes on, because you said something interesting, that you can actually pair one of the beverages that you have here with one of the dishes. And again, something that didn't click to me when I walked into kind of this setting, you can do this authentically on both the libation and the food side.
Absolutely.
All right, so don't go away. Hang out here. We got to take a quick news break and thank some more sponsors. And when we come back, the man, the myth, the legend is here. Freddie El Meslemani is here on the other side of this break. In the meantime, you're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Matt Russell, and if your family is like mine, you gotta have a salad with your pizza, right? I mean, I think it's just as important as the wings and the beer. And when looking for standout salads to accompany our pizza pies, we look no further than Tino's. Family-owned and operated for 32 years, Tino's Pizza just launched a new salad menu that features 8 fresh options, including new chicken Caesar, spinach, and caprese salads. And what fine companions they'll make for one of Tino's signature sandwiches, calzones, or pizzas, like the iconic Big Mo, a 20-inch pizza powerhouse that you have to see to believe. If you're looking for an honest and authentic neighborhood pizza joint, do what I've been doing for decades and ask yourself, isn't it time for Tino's? Tino's Pizza, open daily at 6610 East Tankaverde Road, just across the street from Trail Dust Town.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. You are listening to Matt Russell broadcasting live from Urban Pita, 345 East Congress in the heart of downtown. Again, we got some great killer specials going on until midnight. A wonderful lamb shank. I can just taste the tenderness of that. Rice bowls topped with choice meat sauce and salad. We got a steak shawarma with beautiful tomato onion pickle, little tahini sauce to bring in a little extra authenticity on the palate. We got something called kibbeh. And we're going to be talking to our next guest about kibbeh, but I first want to say, without our sponsors, fellow foodies, this show would not be possible. We could not come to you every Saturday at 5 o'clock were it not for our very valued and treasured sponsors. We want you to get to know them. We want you to say thank you to them. They are really supporting the local food conversation in this community. We want you to spend money with them. Do what it takes, fellow foodies, because without them, I can't run my mouth every Saturday at 5 o'clock. Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, Boca Tacos and Tequila, Commoner & Co., Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, Jerry's Cigars, Tino's Pizza, Tucson Foodie, and, of course, Russell Public Communications. And speaking of celebrities, a couple of celebrities actually just walked in the house right now. I see Danny Plattner from Sun Street Mortgage. I see Bert Durman from Wells Fargo Advisors. It almost sounds like a joke, you know, a mortgage guy and a financial guy walk into a bar. And where do you go from there? Bert Durman and Danny Plattner, always good to see you guys. Thanks so much. Jackie, I mean, where do we even begin when we bring on these next guests? I mean, they are telling stories every day. And as you know, we in the food media sphere, we know that food tells a story. We know that a beverage tells a story. And stories are being woven here every day at Urban Pita. And there is a man here at the center. And I know he will say that it's all about the team. And that's fine because this guy has zero ego. But the point is, the El Messimani story in Tucson is a love story in and of itself. He has not been on the show for a long time. And I am so excited that he is back with us. The co-owner of Urban Pita. Everybody put your hands together for Mr. Freddy El Messimani. Freddy, how are you doing, man? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too. It's been a while.
Man, I mean, you're one of the busiest guys in town. I mean, you know, you've been doing the restaurant thing for years, and then you had this idea. You and Jeff Baker kind of sat down and said, look, downtown Tucson needs urban street food with a Mediterranean flair. Is that where the whole story started?
That's exactly how it started. We were just sitting down here, and we're wondering how come we don't have a Mediterranean restaurant down here that's open late. Also, we got the idea from Europe. It's all over Europe where you go anywhere and you'll find a Euro place for late nights or just in any neighborhood, and that's how where the idea came up.
I got to say, you know, people, I'm originally from back east. You know, restaurants stay open late. That's just what, I don't care if it's a Tuesday, they stay open late. One of the things that, you know, in Tucson is there are a number of restaurants that decide to close before I think they should. And you say, look, especially in the weekends, you want to grab and go. You want to really enjoy, you know, the downtown scene, and you got a great hunger. You shouldn't have to squeeze all
hungry.
That in before 9 o'clock at night, right?
Yep, exactly. And that's what we did. Even on the weekdays, we're open till midnight. That way, we can still grab people who are still, I mean, it's not super late, but people still come out till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And would,
on the weekdays?
On the weekdays.
You're open till midnight?
We're open till midnight.
Jack, you ever been to Urban Pita at 11:59 on a Wednesday?
Not yet, but now I know that's an option.
Freddie's like, maybe 11:45.
Nope, you'll not be surprised. We stay actually open later because people keep coming, and we usually try to, you know, accommodate as many people as we can.
Oh, right on. So talk to us a little bit about what you love about kind of the Mediterranean style of cuisine. I mean, we talked a couple of weeks ago with our good friend Tom Alfonso, the first part in our two-part series on the Mediterranean culture. You know, he talked about how extra virgin premium quality olive oil is at the heart of the sort of the Mediterranean diet. Talked about some wonderful aged balsamic vinegars. But when you're thinking about cuisine, what makes the Mediterranean style so fun for you from both preparing it and serving it to your guests?
First, it's easy to prepare. Everybody thinks it's really hard to prepare, but it's really simple. It doesn't take that long. It requires a lot of steps, but if you have the right tools, it takes about less than 10 or 15 minutes to prepare. As for why it's fun to cook, it's just if you look at our stuff that we have up on there, it's on a rotisserie that rotates. All the oils drip down. It collects on the bottom. So what you're eating is a product of a healthy white meat that you really is not fried or hasn't been touched with anything else, so that you get the purity of the product.
And you see, and the purity of the product is really manifest right there. You can see it, folks.
Yep.
When you come into the restaurant, you can actually see the very slow rotations of that spit. And the spit is at the center of the story because I love your logo because it has the spit right in between the words Urban and Pita.
Yep.
And you can see those oils like you talked about. Those aren't going into your body. Those are being reserved in a reservoir. And that's where you want them so you can taste, like you said, the purity of the product. Now, when I was getting started in the food and beverage scene 30 years ago, as a bartender, one of the initiations for a new bartender was to take the mat where the shot glasses are lined up. At the end of the night, we had to take the mat and we had to set it back. We had to drink what was in the mat. Now, any shenanigans back there where someone's got to lift that reservoir of oil and throw that down, Freddie?
I don't think that's healthy. I don't want to be responsible for somebody's heart attack. Let's just put it that way. Drinking that is probably way different than drinking the oils that come in down.
We're going to talk about the menu, but I want to bring Jeff Baker back. How did you get mixed up with this guy, Freddie? I mean, you know, we know chemistry is so important when it comes to making a restaurant work. Two crazy guys having a crazy idea about filling a void in downtown. How did you guys come together on this?
I've known Freddie for over 10 years. We met back in 2006. I was DJing. I still DJ. I was DJing a nightclub, and he was doing the food side of it. And that's how we became friends. And then I've continued to DJ. And, you know, through our friendship, we were talking about the need for Mediterranean food downtown, something late night, so people can come out after they get done seeing me in the nightclub and still go get something good late, you know, so we send them home happy on both fronts.
It's like Jeff Baker in surround sound, you know, all Jeff all the time.
That's what you need.
But the guy obviously knows what he's talking about. I mean, look, he's talking about bringing cardamom into Turkish coffee. And he's like, yeah, well, that's just what we do here.
Exactly. That's what Turkish coffee is all about.
That's what it's all about. I'm excited. I've never had a Turkish coffee. I'm going to have my very first. It's an historic milestone. Again, Jackie's probably thinking, how in the world have you been? What, you're like 50, dude. You haven't had a Turkish coffee? But, you know, the heart of the urban street food experience is the cuisine here. Talk a little bit about when you're thinking of putting together a Mediterranean menu. What are the must-haves? I mean, when you're doing a blank canvas and you say, look, I want to bring something downtown that's not here. I want to bring my life story, my whole Mediterranean-inspired story to bear here downtown. Where does that conversation start when you're putting together a menu?
When we sat down and got the idea together and we were thinking about what we can bring down and what's the need of bringing that thing down, we needed to have something that's fast and casual. So we automatically got rid of the grill because as delicious as the grill would sound, you don't have the time that you need for a quick turnaround like we do in 5 to 10 minutes and you're out the door. So that faster way would be the shawarma or the gyro because it's cooking, it's ready to go. It needs a couple more minutes to be touched up on the grill and you're out of the store in 5 to 10 minutes. So we don't sound that set that basic on those stuff, so we decided to add some fries and some falafel for the vegetarian, which is also a great staple in the Mediterranean diet, is the falafel, the hummus, the baba ganoush, the domates. We have the fattoush salad, the tabbouleh. We have all of those stuff. All of the stuff are easy to grab. It's just they're dips. It's easy to just put together and serve with pita. So all of the stuff that we have is basically built around how fast we can make it, and that's how we came up with the menu.
Yeah, and as you said, you don't have to overthink. When you're thinking about creating a memorable culinary experience, it doesn't have to be a 3-page recipe. It doesn't have to draw from thousands of ingredients. It doesn't take 2.5 hours to make. Now, do you load that spit every morning? I mean, how is that done? Because that just kind of slow roasts. The heat is on, and it just kind of roasts and begins to really let those flavors fuse.
We definitely, depending on the day, on the weekends, as you just saw, we just put a fresh one on.
Yes.
We just ran out from the morning to now, so we usually double up or triple up sometimes on the weekend, depending on how rush stays till 3 a.m. since we're open till 3 a.m. But as it goes, we put it in the morning and we cut, and until it's ready to be pulled out, we cut it down, we store it on the side, and we build another one, and then we go from there.
Now, for the gyros, what is the primary protein in there? Is that a blend?
It's a blend. Most gyros are blends between lamb and beef.
Okay, and lamb and beef, Jackie, play well together. I mean, you get that kind of that convention, that wonderful beef flavor, but that lamb, you're bringing a little bit of that Mediterranean style, that little bit of the game.
Yep.
Not overly so. It's about that ratio that's ultra critical, but you guys have nailed it with this, and I just love the way that those proteins play together.
Oh, yes, and the seasoning they use just brings it together.
Just brings it together. You know, about a week after you and I talked about doing this show, Jackie Tran has a global Instagram following. And a week after you and I got together to talk about this show, I look at Jackie Tran's Instagram. He came down here for lunch, brought it all back to the office, and I'm looking at the dishes from Urban Pete. I'm thinking, this does not look like a grab-and-go kind of place.
Oh, yes, that rice bowl. It's all sorts of toppings, and it's huge.
So when it comes to the pairings, Jeff Baker, you talked about the Turkish coffee, I think, as being a nice kind of a pairing to go with the shawarma, right?
Absolutely.
Talk about why that is. I mean, with what you could do on the beverage side, you know, the lassis and such, you think that the flavors of the Turkish coffee really help to accentuate what's happening with the shawarma, right?
Yes, because there's a little bit of crossover with the spices. We do use the cardamom with our shawarma spice. So there's going to be some familiarity there. You're going to get a little bit of a connection. Our shawarma is hands down our signature dish. That's what we recommend to people. They say, what's good here? You know, we tell them the chicken, try the chicken. Everything is halal, by the way. All of our meats are halal.
Right. Talk about the shawarma, though. For some of our listeners that might not, I mean, the gyro is sort of the staple Mediterranean
absolutely
dish. What about the shawarma? How does that put together?
The shawarma is, we marinate it overnight. So we're making chicken today for tomorrow. We put together our own special blend of the shawarma spices. We get everything, you know, from the Middle East. We don't do anything that's local. We get it all sent over to us.
What?
Yeah. And then we so we have the shawarma, a few other spices, make the marinade, marinate the chicken, put it up on the rotisserie, and then when it hits the, we cut it down and we want to crisp it up on the flat top.
Yes.
We hit it with a little bit more of that marinade just to, you know, bang home those flavors. And those spices are very present, very forward, and it's delicious stuff. And, you know, you can sip down that coffee and you're ready to run, you know, you can go all day on that.
And I, what I love is the tradition. I mean, you have, you celebrate tradition for what it is. I mean, there is a reason why the, you know, and the shawarma, and like you said, the tamales and such, there's a reason why they are here. But it sounds like you're honoring tradition, but you're also kind of looking at a way to keep it fun and fresh and doing some things your own style when it comes to bringing in some seasonings that really kind of keep it, you know, kind of fun.
Yeah, well, we try to make everything as much as we can in-house from scratch. You know, if you use the best ingredients, you don't have to cover it up with nonsense. You know, I mean, we make all of our sauces, we make our marinades, we make everything. So that's, you know, that's what we stand behind, put forward the best product we can.
You might say this is a no-nonsense zone here at Urban Pita, right? Okay, so we talked about the gyros, we talked about the dolmades, we talked about the shawarma, but you also have puffs, right?
Correct.
What in the world is a puff? And why does it belong on a Mediterranean experience, Freddie?
It's just a quick dough. So back in the Middle East or in the Mediterranean area, bread is a big staple.
Yep.
So everything we eat has to be in bread. That's why we have a pizza. That's why we have the pita bread. It's basically it's the belief that the bread is going to fill you up. So we have all these kind of different fun ways where we can pack meat and stuff. And feed people with it. So we chose the ones that we can deep fry rather than bake because we don't have a gas oven.
Right.
So we had to choose with stuff that we can make in house, and that's why that's the easiest way to do that was create a puff, which is just like a regular dough, except once you deep fry it puffs. So that's why it's called a puff. And then we have two different kind of those. So we fill them with cheese or we fill them with a curry vegetable filling. And they're both available in two or four pieces.
So, I mean, as you're talking about it, is it almost like a samosa or no? I mean,
it's close to the bread, but it's not the layered bread that the samosa have.
Jackie, so I was close. He said I was close. This is like a big deal for me. You know, Freddie could have said, dude, you don't know what you're talking about. A samosa and a puff? Are you kidding me? He said I was close.
You were very close. It's just that the bread is different, but the filling is very close on the curry one.
Okay.
As for the cheese one that we have, you got to think about it as a deep-fried mozzarella a stick, except it's in a sphere, and then it's deep-fried.
Okay, so you got the steak shawarma on special tonight. It's the steak shawarma sandwich with tomato, onion, pickle, a tahini sauce. Again, I'm looking at this price point, $7.50. For a taste and experience in the Mediterranean, or you can go big, uh-huh, which is what I like to do. A couple bucks more, you're really getting a big portion, right?
Correct. You're for a dollar and so, you're adding a lot of meat on there. I'm not gonna say don't quote me on the lot, but you're getting more meat in there, and the size of the bread also increases. So we have two sizes on most of our sandwiches. We have a regular size, which goes about 7 inch, and we have about the jumbo size, which is about 9. But we pack the jumbo in so you can tell the difference is there.
So much fun. I talked about Kibbe a few times on the show before you worked your way aside from this very busy counter to sit down with us here for a minute. What in the world is Kibbe and why should I have one?
The Kibbe is very traditional to the Levantine area because we use cracked wheat or bulgur. We use that as a replacement to wheat sometimes. So another form of making one of those puffs, back in X amount of time back then, they decided, hey, let's use this cracked wheat and use it to create a sort of puff. And then we fill it with all this goodness of minced meat and onions and pine nuts and spices. And then cover it up and deep fry it. There's a couple variations to the fried kibbe. There's the one that's in the pan, where you just bake it in the pan instead of deep fried, or you can get it raw, where you can just eat the meat raw, but you need to get the meat fresh off the sheep.
Okay, now you're not going to do the rock. You're not going to do the rock kidney here.
We're not going to do the rock kidney.
I was about ready to elevate my kidney game, Freddie. But I guess I'll start with the standard preparation.
Yep.
Okay, a two-piece, only $5. You can double up. You get four pieces for $8. And again, this is food that you're just really not going to find anywhere around these parts. Again, authentic Mediterranean cuisine with kind of that El Mesalmani Baker fusion twist, keeping it very much alive and real and relevant here in downtown Tucson. And now, this is a grab-and-go kind of place. You can grab your food, hit the streets, walk around. I was dipping my toes in the Mediterranean Sea 90 days ago. And this is how they eat over there. And there's a reason why you don't see, chronic obesity over there. There's a reason why people take their health seriously. It's simple flavors, simple ingredients working together beautifully. But you don't have to just take it out on the street. You got a cool little restaurant in here. Got to get these wood tables, community tables almost. Make some friends, and that's the way they dine in the Mediterranean as well.
Correct. That's exactly why we wanted to do this. We wanted everybody to have a comfortable surrounding, eat their food, and then get going with their life. They don't have to sit down. They don't have to talk to anybody. They don't have to tip anybody. They're just eat your food, talk to your friend sitting next to you, or just make a new friend, who knows. But as long as we keep all of this place, we try to keep this place as clean and friendly and as good as we can. We try our best in here.
Well, you guys don't need to keep trying because you've nailed it already. It's just fun. It's fresh. It's casual. It's clean. It has the energy that the food has as well. We're going to be talking a little bit more about the food here, but the time has come, Freddie, to see if one of our listeners wants to get a shot at getting a $20 gift card to come in here and experience what this whole urban pita Mediterranean street food thing is all about. Have you thought about something fun that we can ask our listeners today?
Of course we did. We were asking the listeners if they know what the origin of shawarma is.
The origin of shawarma. Okay.
And then what's the meaning of it?
Okay.
So once you go up there and ask, hey, I want a shawarma, what are you asking for?
Okay, that's a great... Now, so Jackie, you're not eligible. You're already trying to figure out
how
you can win this gift card. Anyway, we want to know, what is the origin of shawarma? When you order shawarma, what does that mean? What is that saying? We want to know. If you think you know the answer, send me a note right now on themenulive@gmail.com. Again, on themenulive@gmail.com. First person in with the right answer is going to get a $20 gift card to experience Freddie El Mesalmani and Jeff Baker for themselves. We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank another sponsor. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about what's happening here at lunchtime as well as up until 3 a.m. In the meantime, you're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, friends. You've already made On the Menu Live your weekend destination for the most delicious hour on radio. Come back Sundays for the most compelling hour on radio. American Warrior Radio with my friend Ben Bueller Garcia, telling the stories of those who protect and inspire us. Sundays from noon to 1, right here on 104.1 KQTH, your weekend destination for great radio. Well, here I am at Boca Tacos and Tequila in their new location on 4th Avenue, and I just ran into Chef Maria Maison. What's up, Chef?
Hola, Mateo. So what do you think? Do you like my new restaurant?
Are you kidding me? It's perfect. Such a great setting for a culinary and cocktail kickback in a totally casual atmosphere. And check it out. I'm surrounded by two of my favorite things, tacos and tequilas, on this great patio.
Oh, lucky you. And you know these are real tacos, made with real food and premium spirits, craft beer, wine to keep the fiesta going.
But what do you mean by real food?
It's all about the elegance, Matt, with gourmet flavors in more than 20 varieties of real Sonoran tacos, with premium proteins, fresh produce, and I promise you will not find sour cream and bright yellow cheese anywhere.
And 7 salsas made fresh every single day, from mild and chill to blow your mind hot, right?
You got it, dude, but enough talking. You look ready for a shot.
I'm in.
Boca Tacos and Tequila on 4th Avenue, just north of 6th Street. Open Monday through Saturday from 11 to 10 and Sunday 11 to 8. Check out their full menu today at bocatacos.com.
Welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live from Urban Pita at 345 East Congress Street in the heart of downtown Tucson. We are here hanging out with our celebrity co-host from Tucson Foodie, the senior food writer with Tucson Foodie and TucsonFoodie.com, Mr. Jackie Tran, making his way through a spectrum, a kaleidoscope of Mediterranean color and cuisine here. I can't wait to dig in, man.
Oh, the smell of that oregano and garlic has Ooh, I'm starving.
This is Mediterranean street food manifest. Before we dig in, Freddie Al-Meslimani, you guys are doing something fun here on lunchtime. I talked about Jackie Tran. He brings home, he comes here, grabs some food to go for lunch, brings it back to the office. He puts it down on the conference room table at work, and it looks like he's just been to, like, you know, like a five-star restaurant, the way the presentation is, and you get that fast at lunchtime.
We understand part of the food is also the presentation. If the food can taste really good, and then if you put it in present it in a way where it's not appealing to somebody, then it's very hard to convince somebody that they need to try it. Therefore, we understand that if we take care of how we present our food with the taste that we present, I feel like we complete a product.
And you've completed it beautifully here. And again, you talked about weekends. You're open till 3 a.m.
That's right.
Serving everybody that comes to the door. Now, do you have kind of like a small menu that with like two or three things on the menu that you serve until 3? You're certainly not doing a full menu.
We actually eliminate a few items that takes more than 7 or 8 minutes.
Okay.
Because
that's kind of a nice method to it, yeah.
So the reason why is because people at night are impatient. People at night are mostly... I'm gonna be honest, and mostly are drunk, so they just want to
call it what it is. Have a Turkish coffee and shut up while I make.
They just want to come in, grab a food, and you know, and then leave, and they don't want to stand around. They don't want to, they're ready to go home. So we understand that, and the line gets a little bit crazy. So the reason why we leave it, we break it down to 7 minutes or less, is because the line will go faster. And that way, more people can get their food before they head home.
Okay, that sounds like a great plan. Jackie, have you been here at 2:30 in the morning, standing in that line Freddie talked about?
Only lunchtime. Taco shop was usually my go-to. Now that I know it's open until 3 here, I'm going to add it to the rotation for sure.
So we've got some great food here that we're going to be digging into. All these photos are going to be up on our Instagram page, our Facebook page. Please follow On The Menu Live on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Are these the kibbeh?
Those are the falafels.
These are the falafels. Okay, so let's have a falafel. Jackie, when was your last falafel?
I can't remember. Since I was a young lad.
Oh, a young lad. He's been falafelous for a long time.
As a lad.
Okay, the dipping sauce looks like a
tahini sauce.
Okay, so Jackie, I want you to dip that falafel in the tahini, take that bite, and then begin to share your observations. Now, when Jackie talks food, Freddie Al-Meslimani, it's poetry in motion. He goes in. He has to move the microphone first. Very thoughtfully done, sir. You brilliantly executed. Those are very expensive microphones. Thank you for the care that you've given to the technology here. The one bite is in. What say you, sir?
You have that nutty tahini sauce. You bite in, and it's still piping hot, and that fragrance just bursts out from all the little steam bubbles. And you get that crunch still. I'm still half chewing. I have to stop, so I'm not grossing out the people who are listening to me, but it's a delight.
I don't know how you get all of these flavors. There's a lot going on flavor-wise, but like you said, it's easy preparation. But what you're delivering, again, you talked about the texture differences. Mm-hmm. You got that crunch of the falafel on the outside. You almost got this almost donut-y kind of interior, and again, it's just super full of flavor.
Correct. It's just it's really simple to make falafels. The most time-consuming part of it is actually just boiling down the beans, which we use fava beans and we use garbanzo. So both of those need to break down overnight, or so that we can actually blend them, because they're really, really hard otherwise.
Oh, sure.
So we have to boil them. Once we get that, then we can make the paste, which we defry, and the paste is really easy. It's just we're adding gluten-free bread. By the way, the falafels are gluten-free.
Great.
And we're adding to it parsley. We're adding to it spices and the beans that we just made, and then that's it. That's all what the falafel is.
Okay, that's the falafel. Okay, you don't have to be falafelist for long. Jackie has found a new place for falafel in his daily diet. We have time to do one more dish. Now, we've tried the falafel. That's where we started. Freddie, where do you suggest we go from here on this spectrum of
Since our chicken is what we're famous for, I think we should try some of the chicken.
Okay, so this is the shawarma.
That's the chicken shawarma.
Okay, that Jeff Baker talked about.
Yep.
Again, beautiful color, and you've got the, what's the dipping sauce?
That's the homemade garlic sauce. It's like a garlic aioli.
homemade garlic sauce. You're not going to go into detail on the ingredients?
It's just
a little bit of that old Messalmani secret.
It's really a general flavor that we just copied straight from Lebanon. And then that's it's we didn't do anything to it. This is how it was passed down from generation over. It's just simple as lemon juice, garlic, and some oil and a processor.
And that's it.
And that's it.
That is beautiful. It's like it begins to melt away the minute it hits your mouth.
Yes, it's like an eggless mayonnaise with extra garlic flavor to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. It's the same way you do mayonnaise,
that's
except
it.
we use the egg whites and we don't put any of the yolk in there.
This is Mediterranean street food. We are at Urban Pita. This is how it's all done. Please come on down here. Get to know Freddie Almasolmani and Jeff Baker, the two guys behind the truly inspiring things that are happening here. We're going to continue our tasting, but unfortunately the time has run out. But Jackie Tran with Tucson Foodie, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Always fun breaking some bread with you.
Breaking some falafel in this case.
That's exactly right. Freddie Almasolmani, brother, I really appreciate everything you do in this community. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
If you
thank
missed
you,
any part of the show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website, onthemenulive.com, early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell reminding you, if it's Saturday at 5, it's On The Menu Live. Cheers, fellow foodies.